comes. Chazzeri has the ball in. At the buzzer, he throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76-all, Chazzeri flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, highest edging UCLA. Chazzeri goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
Good afternoon. We are live here at Fashion Furniture, the great studios of 940 ESPN. It's the Rye Show. It's the Pag Meter. Matty J. Man, I was listening to the commercial before with CG. He says, if you have mayonnaise, we can't be friends. I love mayonnaise on everything. I put it on hot dog, everything. Hamburgers, I love
really?
It. I'm a mayonnaise guy. So
I'm a mayonnaise guy with tuna fish.
Oh, I hate tuna fish. How can you? That's like cat food.
You have to blend and mix your mayonnaise in with tuna.
That's cat food.
I personally, I guess that would be personal to me. I'm not a big mustard guy. So
no,
some people say, give me a hot dog, mustard only.
That's put a little tab on it. Just a little poof.
Every now and then I'll sprinkle a little. I like honey mustard, though. I'm not big on the mustard.
Okay. All right. I like it.
What a way to open the show. That's all you got?
I just
good
to
night,
share that
everybody.
With, yeah.
That was a good show.
I just
thank
wanted
you
to share
much.
That with you because one thing about you, you'll eat anything. And then 20 minutes later, you go, why did I order that? You always do the same thing.
Well, I like you're the same. Every time we go out to lunch, whatever.
I get the same thing.
You're the same guy. Yeah. I like to explore the menu a little
bit. Yeah, but then you don't like what you got, and you'll go look at mine and go, why didn't I order that?
Well, it happens.
Happens all. If I
80% of the time, I'm not pleased. I should have stuck with what I thought I was going to get, but I like to explore.
All right. Well, it's Matty J. If you're just joining us, the Pag Meter, we talk local. We talk semi-national. We get into hot topics, and we got a lot of hot topics today. So you want to sit back if you're at your office or in your car. Get the computer set because we got a lot of good stuff today, Matt. A
lot of action out there in the world of athletics.
We're going to wrap up Selden Arena. We had a great weekend of high school basketball. There's, as you say it again, the greatest
show
in town. And we have a new mayor. I talked to Jerry Dyer. Well, we're going to have a new mayor.
Well, yeah,
it's not official yet.
How about jumping ahead a little
but
bit?
But it's official. Come on. This is zero chance, and I called it before. But he wants to get Selden Arena. He wants to get local sports cranking up. So I love that already.
By the way, did you mail your ballots in, or did you go to
We dunked them off.
I kind of missed the boat, and I was wondering why I kept getting so much material and all these great advertisements and envelopes. And I drove by with my wife, and I were all excited on Tuesday to get to the polling place that we thought it would be at. There's nothing there. I had to go online and figure out that, well, they've done things differently now. There's only a few spots. So we had to drive about 15 miles to get to our polling place.
But you went.
I went. I have to do it.
Yeah.
I have to do it. Even though my
in California,
it doesn't mean much for my line of thinking.
Yeah.
But, hey, got to do it.
Got to do it. Well, we're at Fashion Furniture, and what you got to do is come down to Fashion Furniture because there is nothing like it in California. Matt, if they don't have it,
you don't need it.
Exactly, because they have it all. For mattresses, Mikey Boo Boo Mancini Dupree next door will take care of your back. If you get up every morning and your back hurts, pretty good rule of thumb that maybe your mattress needs a change.
Well, I was just in the Cozy, a full recliner massage therapy chairs. One's been sold. And I still got into it. I didn't check with Rod. I was going to check. So I left it alone because it's been sold. And I got into the chair right next to it. And each one of those chairs has its own unique pros to it. And this one was way better from a standpoint of.
What are you talking about?
A full from heat. To what level do you want? The shiatsu, you want an athletic massage, deep tissue, whatever you need, and it rolls up and down your back. It has pressure areas where you stick your hands in so it can help circulation. It reclines all the way and gives you like the
calves.
Bottom of your feet, those rollers that roll in a long day of being at a track meet for 19 hours straight. It rolled the feet. And it has the inversion, so it'll tilt you all the way back, so you're basically all the weights off your spine. Wonderful chair, and I found a winner over there.
Well, I'll never forget when you came in. It was last. This is our 16th year, by the way. Our anniversary coming up, by the way. We're going to have a big, we'll have balloons, maybe some Pop-Tarts, pretzels. We don't know. We haven't decided yet. Maybe a cheese platter. I haven't decided yet. But I remember you came in one day,
yeah,
and you looked like a human crawdad. Your hips were a minute in, yeah, your hips were in the room before you were.
Yeah.
And you went and sat in one of those chairs, and you came out.
Yeah.
And you did a cartwheel.
I was power cleaning, you know, doing some power cleans with our young stallions in the morning,
yeah,
PE session. And I got distracted and turned my head, but I was still pawing, and the whole, as you said, everything went sideways.
Unbelievable. I never seen you walk so sideways.
But you know what? What happened when I got out of the chair?
You did a cartwheel right,
yep,
here in the studio,
and
I couldn't believe it.
And that's not the fake version, because the fake version was when I tried that magnetic wrist bracelet
that
deal.
Was...
And I thought I was cured because the guy at the fair sold it to me, and, you know, he gave me the whole, you know, simulation of, okay, all right, I'm going to hold your arms up, all right? Now, try to put... And it was just so easy. Like, God, I have no strength. And he said, okay, now put this on. And he did it again. I was like, you can't move me. So whatever he did, I believed in it. And that was a wank.
Well, it's because when you stretch, you're a little more flexible.
I don't know what it is.
I'll never forget when you called me the next morning. He goes, Nick, I get up every morning. I have a bad neck and back. And I put this red bracelet thing on, and it's gone. And I went,
is that really the voice I use,
yeah,
to you?
When I got up, Nick. That's what you sounded like.
That's your go-to,
that's your go-to
version of me?
That's what you sounded like. And I was like, really? It's a right. How does that thing work on your right wrist?
I love going to work in the morning and tuning in to our station, and then I'll flip the dial and try to get a quick report on another station, the one that has a lot of talk radio and news. And I always get welcome to the morning. It's 65 degrees. On KMJ. So I get this voice, this guy, and then you meet the guy. Have you had one of those deals where you finally meet the voice? Doesn't fit his voice at all.
Apparently, that's what I when people come and see me, they picture, yeah, me looking like Santa Claus. And I'm like, well, that's not good.
Yeah.
You know, that can't be good.
I mean, what do you mean when Santa Claus?
Like a big, giant guy with a beard. I'm like, well, that's, you know, wow, your voice doesn't, you know. I'm like,
doesn't
okay.
Match who
I don't
you
know,
are.
That can't be good.
Yeah,
but we've had a lot going. We're going to talk today. Is we after the Selden Arena, we know Sunday the playoff brackets come out, and everyone was scratching their heads. But we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about. Let me get this right. As you say, you can play two sports in a day. I can play if Bobby's a coach for soccer. I could play in the morning, but you know Matt's, you know, coaching softball at night. I got a big game. I can go play two games. Two different sports in one
day. Same day.
But I can't play JV varsity. And we're going to talk about that today. I think it's either or.
Let's throw
it out there. Fresno State women's basketball is fantastic. And they got scrudled last night. And I think the – I don't know if you watched it or not.
I did. I saw the highlights.
And the official, I think, just wanted to justify herself. She blew an early whistle. I think she thought they were out of bounds. And she blew a whistle. And then she goes, I think I heard a timeout. I think it was a blunder call, and it could cost Fresno State in the big tournament in the dance. Horrendous. Mountain West needs to come out and just say, you know what? We made a mistake. Don't try to justify the mistake.
Yeah.
They got hosed.
Yeah. Tough to witness, tough to see. And I've always said, look, everyone's entitled, especially in that business, mistakes. They happen. I've always admired the individual who came to me as a coach. Hey, Coach, I'm not going to kid you, okay? We missed it. We blew it. I can live with that.
Yeah.
It happens. Let's go. Continue. But when someone comes up and concocts some story, and I know that they're telling – they're just making it up, that's what enrages the coach, the fan. Just come flat out with it. It's kind of like anybody in business, in life, in politics. I made a mistake.
Yeah.
What happened on that? And they try to, well, you see, you know, like you know, Biden makes a gaffe. He says something he didn't want to say. Well, you know, that's not in the context. What I was trying to say was, no, you blew it. You had a complete brain malfunction, and you blew it. Just tell us that. I can live with that.
I think people would love that.
This is what truly, in this election year, people just give me the truth. I can handle that. Don't come up with some phony story. And I believe that's what they did there in the Mountain West Championship game.
Tom Donald told me that one time. He's coaching Buchanan. It's college second base, and he's sprinting out there, you know, 100 yards. He gets out to the second base umpire, and he goes, hey, Tom, before you say anything, I messed up.
Yeah.
It's a bad call, but I can't change it now. It's going to make me look bad. Tom goes, all right, I got my answer. You know, but if you would have just tried to argue about it, then you got an argument. So last night the referee completely horribly messed up. Fresno State, I'm not saying he would have won, but at least make it go overtime and give another shot.
Yeah.
You can't have a game end like that. And I don't know if Fresno State has enough. We're hoping to go to the dance, but it shouldn't be like that. You can't have a bad call like that. I'm sorry.
Well, it would really be devastating, I think, for dance purposes to get into the big tournament for the men's game because certain conferences are only going to take the winning team from the conference. But in the ladies' game, I think there's probably still enough room in there for our Lady Bulldogs to get a shot, and that's what I'm hoping happens.
All I know is next year they'll even be better. This team,
young team,
Jamie White's got it going on.
Yeah,
this team is loaded, and I guarantee, book it now, Dano, that they'll be in the show next year for sure. They will be somehow. They'll be having even a better record next year. That team is fun to watch. Boise State is really, really good, by the way. That team is good on both ends of the court. Let's talk about, before we get into the whole CIF state committee, I want to talk about how in the world.
Yeah.
You can play two sports in one day, but you can't play. If Matt Johnson needs a backup quarterback just in case the varsity goes down on varsity, but I played JV, what's the difference? Help me out on that. What's the difference if I travel to Ventura, California to play soccer, but I come all the way back to play basketball that night? What's the difference? Are you helping student-athletes out doing that?
No, there is no difference. You would think the spirit of the rule, what we're talking about is, as you painted a perfect picture for it, because we have a living proof example from the young
Kingsburg.
Athlete from Kingsburg. Yeah. Your team is in a soccer tournament run for the state. Your best player plays in the soccer tournament. Your best softball player has a game that night after she just completed her tournament. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
She plays in the softball game and excels big on the softball diamond. How is that any different? I would even went one step further. My idea from last football season was I have a decent developmental freshman quarterback who, if you put him on the varsity depth chart, would be my backup or third team quarterback to be used in case of an emergency or something happened. Can't do it. Can't play a freshman game on Thursday and come back and suit up and play in the varsity game. Can't play it. But if your JV quarterback in football is truly your backup quarterback, you need to suit him up and let him play in the varsity game. Get some snaps in the Friday night game. Cannot do that. But yet you can pitch four innings of baseball and then come right back around and join in on the track meet that same night. How is that any different than playing the same sport?
Yeah, Marissa Montalongo from Kingsburg scored two goals in the soccer playoffs from the state, and then that night hit a big three-run homer for the softball team. But she couldn't play JV varsity on that same day in the same sport.
She could not play double whammy in the same sport. But
she can go. Here's the other my issue. So yeah. Let's say Matt is coaching soccer, and he calls me. I call Matt and go, hey, Matt, I know Marissa's playing soccer with you, but – boy, I really got a home softball. Can she play with me tonight? And you go, well, you're in the state playoff. I sure hope he doesn't get hurt. Well, come on. She's going to, you know, we'll have her DH. All right. And she takes one off the wrist, and she's out. How mad would you be at me? Well, I would, if it was the other way around, if you took one of my players and I'm running for a playoff, I would burn your house down. I would take you out because, you know what, it's about me winning, and all of a sudden the school and the parents are going, well, that guy's a loser. He lost in the playoff. Well, he didn't have his best player. Well, but still.
No, the real internal problem, as you're talking about, is you're in a playoff run to win the state. I'm not, as you like to use these type terms, I'm not a softballologist. I don't know the game as much as you know it. I love the game, but I don't know it like you know the ins and outs. You're the bag meter. It's not really my job. But isn't it early preseason right now?
Yeah.
First game. You're trying to win a state title or a valley title, whatever the title you're running for. You're trying to win a title, and you want to peel that athlete off so you can go out in a softball match that has really – in the big picture, what's the meaning compared to a state soccer run? So, yes, if that individual would have got taken one off the shin, the kneecap, when she couldn't, she was immobilized, couldn't run the next day. I think the soccer coach would be a little upset, but at least the way it goes down, I know in the schools I've coached at, the coach and I have a, you know, we have a nice talk about it. So we are fully aware that, now be careful now because something could happen, and then you have to, you know, live with those circumstances. But if you just cherry pick my player and I go, what you did what? Well, I was later the night, the coach asked me to come out and, you know, take a few pitches in the softball match, and you got hurt, yeah. I would be a raving lunatic coach. I can guarantee
you
that.
What's silly about that, so if Marissa has a sister who played on the freshman team and she went 1-for-2 at the varsity because Marissa's older sister's playing soccer and they need another player, she can't play in the varsity on the same day, but she can go play water polo.
That's the whole part of what you and I are just absolutely throwing our hands up. You're telling me that it's okay to have the early morning wrestling tournament where my star athlete wrestles, you know, 3 or 4 consecutive matches throughout that early morning session to the afternoon. And at night, when the lights go on in the basketball gym, he's also my best point guard. He can play a whole basketball contest, and that's okay.
Hasn't eaten or studied
all
day.
How is that possible?
Hasn't eaten or studied all day, but
how is that possible?
But he can't go wrestle anymore.
But you can't take the JV football guy who just played a full round of football game and then let him suit up and be your backup quarterback. Maybe he's your punter. And he runs out for a few snaps and does that. No, can't do that. We need to talk with the CIF and find out what's going on.
See, I always thought, and you sent the rules to me, but they corrected me, is you can't play two different sports in one day. But apparently you can because we see it all the time in track and field. Or I'll run 100 meters.
It has,
I'll go play golf.
It has to do with, and if Jim Critchlow, the CIF acting commissioner,
please
or
call
Jeff
in
Cardoza. The other party to our Central Section CIF could please check in with Pagmeter. It has to do with season of sport. And if you're in that season of sport,
you can do it. Right?
No. Well, yeah, but you can't play the JV. It's a JV varsity or freshman varsity type
situation. No, wait, when you say season of sport, I can play soccer and basketball because that's a both winter sports, but I can't play winter and then a spring sport?
I am not clear on that, but it has to do with the terminology is all I'm saying. I don't understand the terminology because it doesn't make sense to me but it has to do in the bylaws that I pulled up. It's all talks about it in the season of sport, but a lot of that language to me is a little vague because of what I've witnessed as a coach. My star track athlete, who's also one of the best swimmer divers in our section, that is a sport season that is the same time frame. Track and swimming and diving is going on right now for the boys and the girls, I guess. So my track guy would finish the 100 meters, and he would come to me sometimes at a big track meet and say, Coach, I'm sorry, but I can't run the 200 meters. I've got to go to the diving competition at Bullard High School. What? Well, I'm also, you know, I didn't know if I told you, but I'm the best diver, second best in the whole section. Look at my – go. You can do that, apparently, obviously, because kids do it. We saw the Kingsburg girl that soccer, all those goals, and, you know, batted 10,000 in the next game. I mean, you can do that. But if you're in any sport, football, you can't wrestle with the freshman in the morning and then at night in the dual meet come out as the varsity 118-pound. Yeah, I guess you can't do that. And I'm trying to figure out why. Why? Isn't that the same load? If you're talking about safety – because that's what we're really talking about here. We want to protect our athletes. Isn't there just as much a chance you can get that softball off the chin as you can by participating in a JV to varsity match in the same sport? I don't get it.
I agree. Call 844-940-ESPN is our number. They're calling my phone right now. I know my phone's on my website. But call. We can't get you on if you call the Pagmeter cell phone. You have to call 844-940-ESPN, and then you can call on the show and give us what you think.
844-940-ESPN.
Or 3776 if you don't want to play the
– Find, you know, the – yeah. What sometimes, yeah. Your phone is all scratched. You can't even read. What's the letter? I can't – I've done that at the ATM. It's like I forgot my – and one of these ATMs didn't have all the letters. My password, give it away to everybody listening. It's written out. It's a word that I use.
How about the little three-digit on the back of the card? I have no idea what it is. It's just been scratched off. And, well, I need that personal 30, little digit.
30 days into the new debit card they give you, that number's gone. Scratched. It's gone.
You got to – so true. But this is silly to me because it makes no sense one way. It either has to be an either or. because there's it just doesn't justify. If I'm going to wrestle in the morning at 9:30 and then get on a bus and go to Ventura to play in basketball. Water polo or something,
yeah.
But that's fine.
Yeah.
But I can't play water polo if I'm on the JV team. Two of my players are out this week. I need an extra defensive player. Well, I played the JV. Well, you're out. You can't play.
It makes no sense.
You're helping your school out, but you can't. But you'll go help another coach out.
Truly. Now, what's going to happen, which I found, you have a pattern. I'm talking about the PAG meter. The PAG meter has a pattern, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, he'll talk about stuff, and he'll get enraged and get everybody incensed, and then some official will call in and give us a reasonable explanation. But right now, I don't have a reasonable explanation.
Mr. Cardoza already gave me the official that you can play two different sports in one day, but the JV varsity is unacceptable.
That
will never happen.
That is not an explanation. That is a
why?
Rule. I want to know why.
He doesn't know
why
either.
Why is that?
He has no idea why.
But we did find out after you blew up, and I blew up along with you, about the seedings. Are we going to take a break? Are we taking a break? Because I got to get this one out. If not, I'll wait till the
keep
break.
Keep it going. We're good.
Okay, well, here's the deal. What I had to figure out was this. You hit me up immediately. You are Nick Papagni, the PAG meter. You're on top of all that stuff right away.
Well, I always go to you're my guy.
And you're, come on,
you're
coach,
my information
you're my guy.
Yeah.
I'm getting ready to release this statement. What do you think about this? And we won't talk about what the statement said, even though we had to remove a few of your little sentences.
That was a CIF bracket.
I know. Okay. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
We were all incensed about how in the world could the open champion representing our section.
Well, let's take a break on that one.
Okay.
That's a whole discussion.
I know.
We got two things going on. We're going to talk state playoffs and how can you play two sports in one day?
We're
still going?
It might go on forever.
Okay.
The whole show might be based on this because this is huge.
Okay.
Well, all I'm saying is before we go to the break is I'm used to this through the PAG meter. You get everybody in the valley, what? This is chaos. And then we get a message from somebody that's in charge. Well, guys, let me explain how it works. As you just blew up, and we're going to blow up our own commissioners, our own section, talking about they don't have a say in the thing, and they don't. Well, we got the good explanation.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Cardoza. We got a good explanation from their end.
Yeah.
We don't know what they look at, and we can't figure it all out. But at least we know it has nothing to do with our section railroading us in a certain direction. They do the best they can, and they turn it over to other people to make those decisions. Let's take a break.
Yeah,
and come back on this.
1 o'clock today, we're going to have the head coach of the Bakersfield Christian Eagles, Garrett Brown's going to join us. He's in the state tournament. They're the D3 champs. They've got, and that team could have easily played in the open division as well. So we will take a break. Message or take a break. 844-940 ESPN. I want you to be part of the show today because there's a lot of people out there chiming in, Matt, as they say. We'll take a break. You're listening to The Rise Show. We'll be right back.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Colliers International, Fashion Furniture across from River Park, Emmanuel Schools, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Rise Show. Bobby's here in the studio with a bad knee. Hope he's okay, but I told him, you know, they shot Seabiscuit, so we might have to take him out back. Rod's got a big building back there.
Yeah, Matt, a lesser man would be at home and
back
on his back, iced up, leg elevated. He's walking around like he's getting ready to shoot free throws.
Yeah, come on. Did your mother have any boys, Bobby? Come on, get back in there. So Bobby hurt his leg last week, the day before Selden Arena.
Bobby hurt his leg. Paul Loeffler was on the show. And at the end of that show, Bobby and Paul are talking about, because they play basketball and tournaments and old man leagues and young man leagues. They play all over still. And Paul, I was sitting right there, and Paul asked Bobby, Bobby, come play with us. And Bobby said, no, my knee, my ankle, I just can't put much more stress on it playing too much basketball. And then that night, he goes out and hurts himself playing basketball. One, I'm trying to figure out, was Bobby lying to Paul? Or was Bobby ducking the issue because maybe Paul Loeffler's league is a little tougher than what he plays in? I don't know. But he went out and he got hurt playing basketball after he just was complaining about, I can't play right now, my ankle's bad.
That's a good story right there, Matt. We might be on to something. Of course, it was 10 years ago when Bobby missed that big shot when Clovis West couldn't beat Clovis East. So.
Yeah, but you know what I say, though, is, but at least Bobby was in the position to take a shot. Where were you? Sitting on eating your hot Cheetos and chilling like you always do.
I called it. I said, blows the layup. Bobby blows the layup about three times. You were there, too.
I was
there. And you said, I remember, I watched the tape. How is he in the game right now? That's what you said. So I'll never forget that. Roll the tape. Roll the tape.
No, I did not say that, Bobby. I can assure you.
Well, you're turning red right now. I think you did.
I am genuinely disgusted with you right now.
Well, Fashion Furniture, this is where you want to hang out. Easter coming up. It's going to be Easter before we know it. We're already in March.
Yeah.
I know you got big plans for St. Patty's Day. It's a big celebration in the Johnson household. But Easter's coming up. Might as well get the house ready for the big party.
Why not?
Yeah. So recliners, tables and chairs, mattresses. Hey, you got little kids. They got the table, the bed sets over there, and you're laughing at me right now. There's Sir Rod's in the house. The man, the myth, the legend.
There he is.
Yeah. Yep. He walks around signing.
I can't believe he allows us to continue to do this and represent our section and everything else we do in the local high school scene.
He wants us to do it every day. We can't, but we would be here. This would be a 24-hour show if we could. We should do a marathon show. We're live here at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, no, you do that. I've got to go to work for real.
Well, we could. That could be a show right there. We could go for like the Guinness World Book, the longest running show.
So, by the way, so did you get a discount from?
Here we go.
The golf shop where you bought that Adidas golf shirt.
You like it?
I don't. It's almost Masters green. I would think. Is that?
It's that time. April coming up. Bobby thinks.
So when
Tiger's
you got up this
win
morning,
it.
You looked in the mirror and you said, "Yep, this is what I'm going with.
Yeah,
this is the look."
Exactly.
That's it. Hey, well, no,
go
don't
your
even.
Way.
Yeah, my little Adidas gear is pretty tight.
You got stripes going over other stripes. I don't know what you're going for.
Yeah, the one you've got on is it's not even last year's model. It was on closeout. 10 years ago, they couldn't sell it. They thought they'd try to bring it back.
You know, it's not the sword; it's a soldier.
There
Always
you go.
Remember that.
There you go.
But we're talking.
Hey, by the way, let's give a little talk out to. You know, as long as we can always make some mentions of what's going on out there, but Madera Country Club. Would possibly, we got to write something up, but they'd like to become members with you and I.
I like it.
They would like to join forces.
I like that. You know, that is a great, one of the best kept secrets on country clubs in the valley because it is beautiful.
Yeah.
You can get on there. I like your thinking. I like your headspace.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. So you and I can, you know, make visits out there and play. Maybe one, we can go on location and broadcast from their clubhouse.
I would love that. We are live here in Madera.
That's
where I took the video of you shanking it and went on Twitter, and we got like 550 likes on it when you shanked it left and you were so mad at yourself. It was one of the greatest ones. People.
No shame in my game. No, I was having a tough day. I was trying to, you know, I was, as Tiger did, I was changing my swing a little bit. I was trying a different, my takeaway, everything was different that day. I tried to work with it. It was working good at the range, and I got out there, and it just – I could not get any kind of rhythm at all.
And that, the other one is Roger Dunn's wants us to do a show. Matt and I, we want to come back over there, so maybe one of these nights we'll go do a live remote. Roger Dunn's another one. They do a lot of advertising with 940. I love those guys over there.
That's right.
Charlie and the team over there, second to none. So –
yep.
That's where you go.
They got the great putting green. They've got the custom club fitting. I know when I beat you in that club tournament that we had over there at Roger Dunn in the putting, which I know
is that what you're going to go with?
Better than you.
Is that what you're going to go
with?
You
beat me in ping pong.
Pool, ping pong.
Well, bowling is like we're 50-50. You haven't demonstrated anything on that.
Is that where you're going to go with? Really?
Yeah. Last time we played.
Your hip went out in the third frame.
I took care of the team, though, and brought us to the victory.
That's true.
How about Russ Pickett? Now, Russ has got himself going on at Hoover High School. Head football coach.
7-on-7.
He's got a 7-on-7 tournament coming up. We'll be talking about that right now. He's still got some openings out at Hoover, 7-on-7 football.
I tweeted it out last night, but you get a hold of Hoover High School, Russ, or go on Twitter and follow him, and you can get out there. It's 7-on-7 season already. Think about that.
Well, not quite, but it's getting there.
It's getting there.
I'm coaching track, and I don't want to be thinking about that right now, but yeah.
Another topic I want to get into today. We got three or four topics. You can call 844-940-ESPN. We know Corey Hall is the new coach at Edison. I don't know where they came up with the new contract, but if you're the other Fresno Unified coaches and whatever he come up with, are they going to be a little upset? He got a lot of money, the coach at Edison. How does that work?
Well, first they have to. There has to be some sort of a job, whether it's through a consulting group or whatever he's doing. He gets that. I've always been of the belief, you know, shocking in my position, Hey, good for him. If he negotiated better than the next guy, if he's got more marketability maybe than the next guy, isn't this America? He went for it and he got it. I'm happy for him. Is anyone going to be upset on it? Who knows? I'm sure when they carved out a position for Tim McDonald to work in that district when he came over to Edison, and then when I took over after a few other coaches were there, they rolled me into that position. And I'm sure, absolutely, there were some people upset about it. But if you can get it done, get it done. It's like the NFL. If certain quarterback is on the quarterback rating is number 7 out of 10 quarterbacks, but he got the biggest contract ever, good for him. He did it. Now it's your job or someone else's job to go find out what they can get out of the deal.
That's probably what
Which crazy is that they did. It was one of those where they said, no, they declined.
Yeah.
He didn't get it. But then something continued on, and then he ended up getting a job. And we don't know all the details, obviously, nor do I really care. But he carved out something nice for himself and the family to be the coach at Edison. Good for him.
We'll try to get Corey on hopefully next week.
Yeah.
Give him a week to get in there and a lot
of emails. He's going to have to do something, yeah. And I think fast, to kind of stem the tide. I mean, the giant that we call Central, every time I think about it and do more research, I really, you know, they've won 40 straight Tri-River Athletic Conference games, something crazy number like that.
25, I think. 5 years, whatever it comes out to. They haven't lost since 2015.
Well, there you go.
Clovis Unified can't be happy. Now Edison wants to get back on the horse when they were crashing down.
Yeah.
The mountainside. So Corey can bring it back. The question everyone would, Pagmeier, how long do you think he'll coach? I don't think he'll be there long. He's a guy who was an interim coach at Oregon State.
Yeah.
So I don't see him here for 10 years. I don't know. Maybe he will be. Maybe he loves it.
Yeah.
He'll hang around. So I don't know. We'll never know about that. But I think Edison did a good job of getting Corey back. Stop the bleeding because it was falling fast. And I think Edison – and how many times did I say after Matt Johnson left – you might have heard of him. After Matt left, Edison's in deep trouble. They don't get it. They didn't take care of Matty J. And when he leaves, we better take care of the next guy because now we get it. Sometimes, and maybe that's what Tom Brady's doing right now. Tom's letting the Patriots know, I've won 6 Super Bowls, okay? You want to take care of me or what do you want to do? So am I going to have to go shop around until you take care of me? And that's what happened at Edison. And they didn't take care of Matty J. And it's... Is Corey Hall going to be a Matty J? Not even close. Now, he'll have a get it going on the football field, but he's not going to be what you did off the field, and that's what Edison needs. So I'm hoping Corey understands. It's not just an X's and O's coach over there. It is everything, coach. You got to be a dad, a counselor, an uncle, everything, a head coach,
well,
A to Z over there, and that's what you did very well.
Are you done now? Can I just jump in?
That's
for a minute?
It. I'm
first,
done.
Okay, first of all, thanks for that nice words and everything. But how do you can't even make a blanket statement like that? How do you know what he is or isn't going to do? He's going to have to obviously be in that position, which he will, I'm sure, will step up. He is a highly spiritual guy that really believes in family, so I'm sure he'll step in there and do the other side of the job, which is help transform those lives into kids that can go on and be successful in whatever they do in life. And I'm sure Corey Hall will do that. So you're out of your mind. You bring this up every time. I get it. We're partners in this thing. You watch it happen. And there's some truth in what you say. It probably took him that long maybe to realize that now you've got a gentleman in Coach Corey Hall who's out there. Step up. Almost not do whatever it takes, but do what it takes to get the right person there and take care of him in the best way they can, whatever that is. But take care of the guy, and then maybe you'll reap the benefits. And sometimes, as you said, it takes a few years or a few fall down the mountain on your face to realize the next time if we get a chance to do this. That's why I applaud the principal, Joey Munoz, at Edison, because he definitely gets it. He's an old coach. He understands the value, as most schools do, with having someone in a position that can help. I always use that term, and I'll continue to use it, help transform the lives. That doesn't have to be just basketball. I hope he uses his power and his clout to get involved in the other things on that campus, not just his sport of football. You've got to go out and enjoy all of the things that go on that campus and help support in any way you can. I'm guessing he will do that, and they should have a happy marriage. How long it lasts, who knows?
Who knows?
Nobody knows. How long would anything last? Yeah. No one can make that guess. But it looks and appears that they've closed the deal. It's there. Now the kids can start looking forward to their future.
So true, Matt. And when you left Edison, Central should give you at least one ring, because when you left, or about 10 to 15 Tigers went to Central, and then the machine started for the Central Grizzlies, and they've been loving it ever since. Because when you don't have a great head coach at Edison, they leave. They go to Washington Union. They go to Central, and that's what, look at Washington Union now.
Yeah.
They're now becoming a powerhouse. And so I'm sure Central and Washington Union are going, uh-oh, Corey's now. We got kids, I'll be coming back soon.
Which so kind of goes right into the part of, you know, we were talking about two-sport athletes, athletes that are playing in the same season of sport but playing in another sport that's in the same season, or some sports that aren't even in the same season, i.e. soccer. If you look at it, even though you're in a playoff run, soccer's finishing. But softball is just beginning. They're not in the same season of sport. So there's a lot of murky waters when you talk about that. The bottom line is the perfect storm hit Central. Growth, neighborhoods developing, more population of student-athletes coming in. I think right around the time that Coach Kaligian, who moved into Coach Garza, who did a great job, even Casey Quinn, let's give him a little credit too. He was trying to build something there. Coach Garza took the next step. And then Kyle Biggs, you always go that route of Edison this or Coach Johnson left this. Let's just call it what it is. However things happen, Coach Kyle Biggs galvanized that storm, got it in control to do what he's doing in football. They are the unquestioned king. They are the Alabama of our section right now, and I don't see it ending soon, but there always is room for a Clemson to come in and knock off Alabama. There's always room for a new school to come in, not a new school, but a school that's been around, i.e. in Edison, to kind of get themselves redirected to make a run against that. But the bottom line is no one has the resources that Central has right now. No one has that trade area, if you will, that is massive. Their area is miles and miles and miles of homes and a community, then more homes, then country kids. No one parallels that in our section. And then you couple the dysfunctionality at one school, kid wants to leave there, kid at one school is not. And it's not just Edison, by the way. That collection of talent came from all over. And it's not Coach Biggs. I guarantee it without any hesitation. It's just kids follow what's the latest, greatest thing. That's what they do. Kids follow each other.
But we'll
parents
never
want
know.
Their kids to go to places like that.
But we'll never know if you would have stayed at Edison, would it be the other way around? Instead of 15 kids leaving Edison, maybe you get 10 kids coming over to Central, and you got a powerhouse. All of a sudden, you got a Long Beach Poly
and going. Also, more importantly to all of that, what you said, also life and this strange cycle that we're all on in this world of life. Tony Perry passes. And that's his equal amount or bigger amount. Tony Perry was a stabilizing West Side force, not just for the betterment of kids, but Tony Perry stood for, let's call it what it is, black and gold. That's his alma mater. The legends of Edison in those days and before those days still continue. A lot of parents have moved out that were alumni of that school and brought their kids to other schools around the valley. But Tony Perry gave you a little sense of wanting to be around that guy, as we called him, the Pied Piper of the West Side. He truly was. So when Tony Perry passed, that's when really, truly, let's tell it like it is, the floodgates opened. He was my sidekick, my partner in this thing. But when he passed, it's all she wrote.
I don't know about that.
My number one job when I got the job, number one on my checklist.
Get TP.
Where's he at now? Yeah. COS? He was at Central? Why is he not back at home? Let's get that coach back in. Tony Perry, I'm going to work with him. And he came. And then some good things started to happen. It wasn't always good, by the way. We make it sound like we were hanging 3-4 national championships. We won big in 1 year. First year was good also. But the third, fourth year, as things started to kind of, the talent wasn't the same as the years before. And then they didn't have athletic PE. They weren't preparing their troops in the mornings like all these powerhouse programs are doing. Even the small schools do it. Even schools that only win 3 or 4 games, like I'm over at Madera South, we all do it. We prepare the youngsters, boys and girls, in the morning, and sometimes at seventh period. And they never had a taste of that. That was a huge challenge to repair all the damage that can happen in a school day with the kids after school. Now they can get on track in the mornings, which I'm sure Corey Hall, I've been part of Clovis North when he was over there, we'll have them come in the morning. They'll have first period, second period, third period to get all of those demons exercised as they start their day on the good foot going into the classroom.
You know, you mentioned, and I, of course you can always look at the old principal, but Mr. Munoz, who's now at Edison, gets what's going on the west side. The former principal had no clue about sports on the west side.
Well, not true.
Zero.
Not true. Not true. Let's not get into this. Not true.
All right. Okay.
Just had a different challenge for taking the A through G requirements, the course load, and how they schedule their classes at that school. Joey Munoz understood that dynamic. You're absolutely right. And he probably made it part of his mission to make sure that we don't ask for much in the sport world that we all represent, you and I, in high school. But you would at least hope that all the high schools could at least operate on somewhat the same level playing field. Meaning if you're with your softball team or you're with your basketball team at zero period, first period, second period, then the other schools you compete against have to be able to have the same opportunity to do that.
Or take them off the schedule.
Or take them off the schedule. Yeah, something, anything like that. So that's all that's going on now. And I know one thing, and let's get on to the other subjects we want to talk about. But I know this, right, wrong, or indifferent, Coach Hall, we're using Edison as the example right now. Now that they are fully spring-loaded into morning sessions of workouts, athletic PE they call it, Corey Hall's going to work. That dude is a worker. He's had high energy, and he will work. And when you put in time and energy, results at the end usually come out positive. If you don't put in the time and energy, I'm talking about coaches out there, the results usually aren't as good. I am so tired of people that blame the kids. Well, yeah, we can't do anything. We got this kid over here. You can't win with that kid. You know. Well, work with him. Change him. That's your job as a coach. And Corey Hall is not going to put up with anything, and he's going to go do what his job is, which is to help get the most he can out of those young student-athletes.
He's going to bring swagger to the Edison
Oh, he's got
Tigers.
Swagger now.
Yeah, no
he's
doubt.
Got swagger.
And the kids love that.
Yeah, we had a little stuff between you and I kind of calling those games when he was at Clovis North, thinking, what is he doing over there? What's he talking about? Why is he on? He's just that guy.
I think he learned a lot from those days.
Probably has.
I think he's matured a little more than that back in the day when Clovis North was a powerhouse and he wanted to be – he was still thinking he was playing for the Atlanta Falcons back there and doing some trash talking. I don't think he'll be doing that anymore. As we're on this subject, and I would love to see, I'm going to push this until it happens. This should be an emergency meeting, what I'm going to say.
Okay? Oh, no, you're
this is going to be an emergency meeting.
Oh, no.
Division V sports should never, ever play a Division I sport. End of story. And as long as I'm seeing Madera South football Division V playing in the CMAC, that is completely 100% worse than any. If you want to play three sports in one day, four sports in one day, this is worse. So I want to make it happen. I'm pleading to Madera and the CMAC, make it happen. Have an emergency meeting. I'll buy the breakfast. Let's get this going. It should take 5 minutes to figure out. There, I said it.
Yep, you've been saying that.
Well, I'm going to say it every show.
You've said that a long time.
I'm
going to
say it every show until it happens. We got a lot of topics today. Garrett Brown's going to join us at 1 o'clock from the Bakersfield Christian D3 champs, and I really like watching these guys because, you know, Ben Jurasik, who's almost a mini Shaquille O'Neal around here, he changed the rules of Ghana from high school basketball. He's a 6'5", 6'7" kid, whatever he is. He's physical inside, and referees don't know how to call it. He's getting pounded by three people. They're not calling fouls, just like Shaq was. And Garrett Brown, I was watching because, you know, when we did the game against Hoover, he's just so frustrated because look at my guy. I mean, he touches somebody, foul.
Yeah.
They call foul. And so we'll talk to Garrett, but I really like him.
I can truly relate to that because the game has changed so dramatically. The world of high school athletics has changed so dramatically that you have these one sport specialists, and their bodies a lot of times look like it, you know. But when I grew up, the best football player was also pretty much the best basketball player, and the best track or baseball player was pretty much the best football or basketball player. We just played.
Yeah.
Now you get these body types that are, they all look like, you know, whether they're 6 foot, 5'11", or 6'8". They all look like Kevin Durant. They're thin. They're not built the way the guys I grew up with, where you would have a lot of Ben Jarosics running around when I played. I don't know how it was for you, but those guys played. They left their defensive end or tight end position and went into the game as a football to basketball season or to wrestling. And that's just the way it was. Now you've got guys that spend the entire offseason in the gym. They're in clubs. They're in all this. And it's not just basketball. All these sports now, club this, club that. I've got great-looking volleyball players on campus. They just club. That's what they do. They don't get involved in other sides of things. Now, I can get that if you are LeBron James, who probably would be working into his 10th year of being all-pro in football. But he's a basketball guy, and he's a prodigy. Go get it. But these other kids that don't get involved in all that other stuff, they can't experience the pleasure that I'm sure Ben Jarosic of Bakersfield Christian feels. That guy is a throwback to the way it used to be, the way it still should be, when men were men. Unfortunately, the sheep were scared sometimes, but men were men.
But by the way, he could play at Stanford basketball if he wanted. That's how good he is.
Yeah,
he's
absolutely.
He's a super athlete.
You know, Tony Gonzalez, I talked with CG. It was Tony Gonzalez was that guy in Huntington Beach, California. He was a two-sport, three-sport sensation. I miss those days. I really do.
Well, let's take a break. We'll come back and talk with Garrett Brown from Bakersfield Christian. They got it going on. They're, you know, state champs in football, and they're going for basketball now. Don't go anywhere. This is the Rise Show. Pagmeter, Matty J. We're bringing it to you live coming up next on 940 ESPN.
Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Here comes Shazari, has the ball in. At the buzzer, he throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76-all, Shazari flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Shazari goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rise Show. The 940 ESPN Rise Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
Welcome back. We are live here at Fashion Furniture. It's the Pagmeter. It's Matty J here at the great Fashion Furniture Studios. If you haven't been to Fashion Furniture, Matt, they're not living in Fresno because it's right. It's the best furniture store really in California. There's nothing like it in California. They got you covered. They got tremendous sales going on. Get your house ready from A to Z, from little kids' tables and chairs, the bedroom sets, the mattresses. Mikey next door, your favorite, Matt, Moe's. How do you like Moe's?
I like Moe's. I'm torn between. Do I stay with my style or do I step it up and get a little creative? And at Moe's, you can get real creative. Got to love it.
Yeah, and I know one guy who's going to be here when the basketball season's over, the head coach from the Bakersfield Christian Eagles, the Division III section champs, the Bakersfield Christian Eagles head coach, Garrett Brown. Garrett, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Excellent.
Garrett, I love watching you coach the other day because I turn around and I think every call I agreed with you or disagreed because I look at you, especially when Big Ben Jarosic is getting fouled, they're not calling it. But if he touches somebody, they call the foul. And we talked about it after. People don't know how to referee a big physical guy. He brings back the old school Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, he's just, you know, pretty much every game we play, he's bigger and stronger than everybody. So, you know, he doesn't get refereed, I feel, fairly. You know, sometimes he doesn't get the call offensively because he's bigger and stronger than everybody. And like you said, when he tries to play defense and just stands straight up, there's contact because he's so strong, and sometimes he gets the call. So, you know, it was fine on Tuesday, and we're hoping for more of the same tonight.
Talking with Garrett Brown, the head coach from the Bakersfield Christian Eagles. Big win, and how did they enjoy Selden Arena as you beat Hoover? And you guys had a tremendous second half. And I think that it's that halftime pep talk by Garrett Brown, because you guys were a little nervous that first quarter.
Yeah, well, we enjoyed selling a lot more this year than we did the previous 2 years. You know, we were relaxed and loose all week. I tried to keep it like that all week. So I really felt like we were going to come out strong. And then we didn't. The nerves kind of kicked in. And like you said, it's a different beast up there at Selling. So the nerves kind of kicked in and you know, we didn't start off very well. I had to call a timeout early to calm them down. But then really when they cut it to one at halftime, I really got 10 minutes to really talk to them and just get them to relax and just play the way you've been playing all year. So, and then they came out and they made the adjustments and executed offensively and defensively for us in the second half.
Coach Brown, introduce your team to our listening audience. Obviously, we talk a lot about Big Ben. I mean, he's spectacular, but you've got a lot on that basketball team. Introduce our audience to your team, please.
Okay. Well, obviously, Ben Jurasik, he's our center. He's going to Stanford on a full ride football scholarship, play tight end. He's our leader. He's our communicator. He's everything for us, our rim protector, best defender, all that stuff. Then we have Lendell Henderson Jr., who is our 6'5", 6'6", wing athlete. He can shoot it, drive it, really can't stop him from getting to the hole when he is in attack mode. He's getting better defensively and playing with a better motor. Sky's the limit for that kid because talent-wise, he's got it. So if he just keeps working on the little things and paying attention to detail, then he's got a chance to be a high major Division I kid. Then we have Seth Marantos, our point guard, who is another cornerstone for us. Without him, we wouldn't be able to get the ball across half court. So a lot of people don't understand how good he is because he's not averaging 20 points a game. But without him bringing the ball up the court, making plays for himself, making plays for other people, and then also on the defensive end, he's our best defender and our best ball handler, and he's everything for us. And then we have another guard who can really score named Leviticus Latu. He's also our second best perimeter defender. When him and Seth are on the floor, it's really hard for guards to initiate their offense. So love having those two guys. And then we have some role guys off the bench and some shooters. So we have two shooters, Zach Hebert and Quentin Ocampo, who we count on to make shots for us and spread the floor. And then obviously, you know, still play hard defensively and rebound. And then Jaden Huggins has really stepped up for us over the last month and made some plays defensively and offensively. He's a long kid, about 6'5", big wingspan, can help dictate shots and rebound the ball for us. And then our glue guy is Kyle Gwynn. I put him in the game. I know he's going to play hard all the time, and he's going to do all the little things to help us win the game. So I have an 8-man rotation, and that's who I roll with. Those are my guys.
We're talking with Garrett Brown, the head coach from the Bakersfield Christian Eagles, Division III champs, knocked off Hoover on Selling Arena. And now you get to play in the state, and then you get the state draws. Were you happy? What were you thinking when the draws came out on that Sunday?
I felt like we were a top four team for Division III with the way we played this year, with the teams that we beat, our strength of schedule. You know, we beat some really good teams from out of town. We beat Pacifica Christian, who was ranked number 12 in the state for Division II. We beat Rancho Solano Prep out of Arizona, who just won the Division II state championship out in Arizona. We had a one-point game against Clovis West, who's one of the best teams in the state. Lost by one in overtime, and I just felt like they would look at that and look at the fact that we're now, after winning Tuesday, we're 20-1 with Ben in uniform. And, you know, they didn't. They moved us down to Division IV. And I felt like if we got moved down to Division IV, we should have been a one seed. But they gave us the 5, and not going to cry over spilled milk, and just got to get to work and go get it done.
Well, you had a big win over Montclair, 70-61, and now you get a home game against Summit, who knocked off the 4 seed Oakwood. When you're doing this state, Garrett, what do you know about these teams? You just start getting on YouTube, or you call coaches or try to get film, or how do you go about it?
Yeah, luckily Huddle's been really good. So we upload all of our films to Huddle. And I started reaching out to coaches Tuesday night after we won to get film. I got one film Tuesday night, and then Wednesday morning I got about 4 or 5 more. So I've been glued to my iPad watching film. by myself. We watched film as a team together for about an hour yesterday, and you know, we're ready to go.
Well, now Summit High School, your next opponent. They're not a very large team. They shoot the ball well. Tell us about what you saw while you're watching your huddle tape.
Yeah, they have good guards. They penetrate well. They play unselfishly. They make the extra pass. They got some guys who can really shoot it. They play a half-court man defense. I didn't see them play anything else. I didn't see them switch up their defense as much. But like you said, they're not very big. I think their tallest guy is listed at 6'4", so which means he's probably only 6'2". And, you know, but they got a bunch of guards. They like to space it and shoot it. So we have our challenges, but, you know, I think we're ready for the task. So we like to change up our defenses and throw different things at teams and stick with what works.
I think the two X factors for me from you winning the state for Bakersfield Christian are, can the referees handle Big Ben? Are they going to go, we don't know how to handle this guy? Or is he going to get in foul trouble and you might have to sit him for a little while? But you're Lindy Henderson. You're talking about a guy. Keep on him, Coach, because this kid, I think he's like 6'7". He's only a junior. He's got potential to be big-time player. You're going to be tough. Now, you just said you should be number one in Division Four. They put you at 5. That's your motivation right now. Guys, they don't respect us around the state. Take care of business.
No, and they don't. I just feel like they don't know anything about the Central Section. You know, they don't come up here to watch us. They don't pay attention to us. And then when it comes to seeding for the state, they probably just throw darts at a dartboard and decide that's what they're going to do, because they just don't know enough about us. You know, and I feel like there's some really good teams in town. And, you know, I'm not trying to talk bad about anybody, sure. But, I mean, we play Montclair on Tuesday, and we're up 57-26 with 4 minutes left in the third quarter, and I take everybody out so they can rest. And so the game, the final score was a lot closer than the actual
yes.
game. There's a lot of teams out there who we've seen and we've played that didn't get a chance to make the state tournament. And I feel like those teams should be in. So
absolutely.
Well, this is how it works. What I've got from the CIF Central section is what they give them. The CIF section gives a list to the CIF State Committee, and then it's a free-for-all. So this is what we say. These are our top teams going in. And wherever they go, we have nothing to do with it. It's the CIF State who blundered most of these seedings this year. And there were blunders everywhere. We will go about it in a few minutes. But I don't even know what to tell you. I see, for example, they don't even care about selling arena. You can win or lose. Right. They already made up their mind, strength of schedule. And to me, if you win the Super Bowl, it should be the pinnacle before anything. Yeah. I don't care about strength of schedule after that. I beat you at selling arena for a championship. End of story. But it didn't work out like that.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I agree with you completely. You know, and I have a good relationship with Vance and also Brad. So, you know, I feel, you know, that was a great game.
Yes.
You know, obviously Clovis West beat them earlier in the year. But then San Joaquin just beat them for the championship, like you said. And San Joaquin Memorial gets 13 and Clovis West gets 8. It's a little puzzling, but, you know, it is what it is.
And most importantly, Coach, you're in the trenches doing this day in and day out. It's not like you're saying or I'm saying or even the PAG meter. That's not a slight to Clovis West. That's, you know,
no.
I think a lot of Clovis West people might think, well, what are you talking about? We deserve this. We hope you got a 2 seed. It's just that the team that you just lost to should have got the 1 seed then. It's just everyone's
exactly.
kind of taking this a little bit out of context. It's not anything against Clovis West. They deserve everything they can get.
It's 100%. I have nothing but respect for Vance and those kids and what they've done. You know, they win year in and year out. No matter what, you can guarantee that Clovis West is a top 3 team in the Valley every year and a top 10, 15 team in the state every year. So it's
right.
nothing against them. It's just the fact that they lost the last game to San Joaquin Memorial, and I feel like both of them should have been ranked higher. Clovis West should have been higher, and San Joaquin Memorial should have been ranked higher as well.
That's right. Coach, I apologize in advance if I completely butcher this, because this might be something where, Coach, I just started like 8 weeks ago. How long have you been coaching there? And give us the background of – I should know this better, but I'll be honest. I just can't get absorbed completely into what goes down in your area of our section. But hats off to you. But tell us about yourself, where you were raised in basketball and the people you looked up to helped mentor you to give you some ideas in this great game of basketball.
Okay, for sure. Yeah. So I was basically born into the game of basketball. My dad's been coaching college basketball for 34 years. This is he just actually ended his 34th season yesterday, and been around it my whole life. I played college basketball at Bakersfield College for 2 years and then got a scholarship to Grand Canyon University in Phoenix. I played there in 2002-03.
Love it. Yeah.
And then came back to town, and my dad was still at Cal State Bakersfield. He never wanted to coach me, and I never wanted to play for him, so I just decided to get a job and start a family. And I coached freshman basketball at BHS for 2 years, 2007 and 2008, and then I helped my brother-in-law at Liberty, A.J. Sheeran, for 2 years, I think 2011 and 2012, and then I took some time off to be with my kids and my wife and everything, and then Kyle Shiloh came back from overseas and retired, and we have a great relationship. He's like my brother, and he took over the BCHS program, and I helped him. I was his assistant the last 2 years, and we had a lot of success. Obviously, not all the success that we wanted because we couldn't get it done at Salem 2 years in a row. And then he decided to open up the facility in town and start a prep school, and he's doing great over there. And they decided to keep me on and hire me as a head coach this year. So this is my first year as a head coach at BCHS.
Well, awesome job. I mean, you, the last name Brown, I was hoping you weren't going to say something like maybe you will. Well, you might have heard of my my father, Larry Brown. I started basketball, you know, 46 years with my dad, and his uncle was Hubie Brown. Might have heard of him, Coach. But your basketball, basically, in your world and your family, which is most important, you're basketball royalty. You grew up in this game.
Yeah.
So you've seen a lot. In your travels, Coach. By the way, while you're in Grand Canyon, Paul Westphal wasn't the coach, was he? Or was that before?
No. No. Oh, that was before. That was before my time.
Okay.
So I had my coach at Grand Canyon was Leighton McCrary.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
So,
good.
Garrett, we're talking with Garrett Brown, the head coach of Bakersfield Christian. So you're at dinner. Is your dad going, I tell you what, Garrett, what I would do, a lot of talks at dinner.
He tried to say some things the other day, and I said, look, man, just let me do what I do. I know what I'm doing. I know my team. I know what my guys need. And, you know, hey, you might not like the things that I do, but I think you should say more. So how about that? Let me give you some tips on what I think you should do. So.
Oh,
you know,
I love
but,
that.
I have nothing but respect, obviously, for my father.
Of course.
And he's a great coach, and that's where I get, you know, most of my coaching style from. You know, I've obviously have a lot of mentors besides him. You know, Henry Clark, who was his head coach at Cal State Bakersfield when he was the assistant for a long time. Justin Hudson was a grad assistant when my dad was there. Obviously, he's head coach at Fresno State now and brought my dad on. And Brian Dignan, who is the head coach at Garces, he was my dad's assistant for a long time when my dad was head coach at Cal State Bakersfield. And, you know, I've learned from a lot of different guys who really know their stuff, and just trying to take all those influences and mold my own style. And it's worked out for me.
Garrett Brown is the next leader of the high school basketball in the South Valley, no doubt about it. Well, Brock Jones, who's a superstar two-sport athlete at Buchanan, he played football and baseball. At Stanford, he's playing football and baseball. I think Big Ben can play basketball at Stanford. Any talks, maybe walking on and say, hey, Coach, I'd love to try out today.
Hey, I'm all for it. I've told him I think he can do it. I think he'd be the first guy to do it at a high level. You know, since Julius Peppers did it with Carolina, and obviously, you know, you got Tony Gonzalez and Antonio Gates that's well known for playing both sports. And I think Ben's good enough to do it, but I'm not sure if it's in the cards for him. You know, his end goal is obviously playing on Sundays, and he should be a draft pick in 3 to 4 years. So I know that's his ultimate goal, but I've talked to him about, you know, hey, I think you could be a role guy for Stanford as a freshman if you wanted to be on the basketball court. So I don't know if that's in the cards for him, but I'm sure I'll stay in his ear about it because I think he could be a big-time two-sport athlete.
Well, I'm sold, yeah.
Absolutely. And what is his – you've been doing this a long time. What is his number one strength? If you were talking to a college basketball recruiter, is it his motor, his obviously strength? What would you say in his game is A-plus in your book?
I would just say all the intangibles. So you got to put everything in there, motor,
yeah,
leadership, communication, just everything, man. He not only that, when he brings all this to the table – then all the other guys pick up on it and they feed off of him. So just an infectious guy, man. He's amazing. Like, and that's what I tell, you know, our guys and myself and our assistants. I said, guys like Ben Jurosik don't come around very often. So you need to make sure you capitalize on the opportunities you have while he's here.
Well said. Well said.
Well, Garrett, best of luck tonight. You're at home tonight, and then win a state. You could do it at football and then basketball. Bakersfield Christian is on the go right now. I love it.
That'd be awesome. And thank you very much. And that's real quick. That's what I told Ben. I told him after we got seated, I called him because, you know, it's hard to motivate a guy like that who has everything, you know. And I just told him, I said, look, man, I said, when was the last time there was a kid in the state of California who led his football team and basketball team to a state championship in the same year?
Never. Never happened.
And he goes,
before, by the way.
He goes, I can't think of it. I said, you know what, Ben, it probably never happened. So why not you?
Yeah.
And
that
and
would be a great story.
He started getting amped up. Yeah.
Yeah. When he plays on Sunday someday, when you go, yeah, that's a 2-time state champion player right there. That's unheard of. So good luck and bring it. I think you got a great shot at it. So I'm rooting for the Eagles. So best of luck. Thanks for hanging out with us today.
Hey, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks,
you
Coach.
Got also, by the way, Hoover on the other side of the bracket, on the north side. They got a big win the other night, beat Liberty Ranch, and they're home tonight against Hillsdale. So they got a 4 seed on the north side, and, of course, Bakersfield Christian on the south. But that's how they do it, Matt. The CIF, Mr. Cardoza, Mr. Critchlow, they give a list. Here's our top teams.
Right.
They don't even look at Selling Arena. They don't care about Selling Arena, and this is where it's wrong.
Yeah.
They should wait to see who wins for strength of schedule.
Well, first they have the task of taking all that intelligent information in, but then they got to break the state up in two and go north and south.
Yeah, right.
So you could be, as an example, not that this is the way it went down, but let's take Clovis West, San Joaquin Memorial. In fact, let's not even go there. We just talked
about
Coach Brown.
North.
Let's just take Hoover and Bakersfield Christian. Clearly, Bakersfield Christian's a better basketball team than Hoover.
Yeah.
Hoover got a 4 seed.
In the north.
That's what I'm getting to. Bakersfield got a 5 seed. They're not in the same. One went north, one went south.
Yeah.
And they have to take all those teams and then reevaluate with the teams they have and then reseed the tournament. So let's say that our central section gave Bakersfield Christian, as an example, the 4 seed. They gave Hoover, let's say, a 9 seed. They're not listening to any of that. Once Hoover goes one way in the state and the other school, Bakersfield Christian, goes the other side of the state, now they recalibrate all their own seedings and come up with their own tournament bracket, if you will. And that's where there's a problem, because you're right. They don't have time or probably the wherewithal, because, as Coach said, they probably don't know enough about what we do up here and what our good teams are, really, other than the information they got. But once they get that information and they have to decide north and south, that information starts getting watered down even more, because now they got a whole different teams from around the state playing in the north or the south. So it is obviously very difficult, but clearly, Cal High Sports thinks so. You think so. Coach Brown thinks so. I think so. We always seem to be the stepchild to everything, and they just never quite give us the full our full just due.
Well, this year Fowler is the cutoff for the north and south.
Yeah.
This is why Fowler went south. Fresno Christian on the D5 went north. So that's why. So how did Fowler get a higher seed?
Yeah, there you go. Another one.
You know, it's another one. But on the girls' side, and I got a big problem with this, Clovis High School girls, which is a fan, we love them. We had Coach on before, played in the open division here in our section. They didn't make it to Selling Arena. Then they get moved to D2. And they beat Merced the other night, like 180-28 or something. Why would any open league team in our division play in Division II? And I blame the CIF State for that, because they look and, oh, well, let's see, I got some extra teams. Put Clovis in that side. I don't care about the equity. A Division I track should never play a Division II down. It should be open or Division I, and should never play open, by the way. That's just strictly for Clovis West. But I don't like this. Sorry.
Clearly we have a higher opinion on the schools that we get to visit with and witness day in and day out, and you specifically, Pagmeter, than what somebody that has an office down in Burbank would have They don't have the relationship. So as we're talking about competitive equity, they're just trying to max all those teams together from all over the state. And now they got to figure out, well, now if Clovis had a record, the Cougars girls team had a record of finalist, state, regional champion, state, finalist, then it'd be a different deal. But they don't have a track record when they're probably looking at other schools. So they're trying to get them down into Division II to where there is some sort of competitive equity. Is it completely right? Never. How can it be, by the way? How possible? How can it be correct? This isn't just a basketball thing. It happens in football. You're never going to get it right. I just have a problem with, is it because we're the dominant wrestling section, hands down, not even close in this state, and they say, look, we gave you all your just due. You just whooped our tails again in the world of wrestling. It's obviously it's not that. That's probably too nefarious undermining. But something's clearly going on where we just don't, in the world of basketball, get it. And I would have to say what it is that other than Clovis West girls, in one run I remember a while ago, and the gentleman played at Clovis West and he went to Stanford, the guard. Clovis West had a run and they went all the way to Arco for the finals. Okay?
Chris Hernandez, you're talking
about? Yeah, Chris Hernandez. Other than that, it's not like we have a track record in the state for Central Section teams winning.
Not in basketball.
Not in basketball. Let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah, Clovis West has put us on the map for that side of it. Now, the other thing
is... Now, Memorial, if they would continue to grow, or a Bakersfield Christian, maybe. But that's... In basketball in our state, that's the bastion for the private professionals. You're not going to pierce the Sierra Canyon game with some, you know, public school up here in Central Section. It's not going to happen.
No, you're absolutely right. And I look on the boys' side, how I had Memorial at a higher seed than Clovis West. That was completely a farce. But I think the CIF makes money. The CIF State makes money on the attendance. Let's see. Memorial's, their gym holds 379, and Clovis West holds 3,000. What am I going to give the extra nod to? Oh, wait. Clovis West had a strength schedule a little better. I don't care if they lost at Selden Arena. I don't care if Memorial's the champion. That's what I think. That had a lot to do with it. They want to make some money, but it's completely. For another thing on the Twitter people, if you're going to use a burner account, because I get a lot of people they want to comment but not use their real name, you don't even qualify. Okay, Mr. Golden Eagle out there, I know who you are. Please stop with the burners accounts. Yeah. They try to comment. Well, Clovis West played a tougher schedule. They beat Memorial at their own gym and lost at a neutral site. End of story. You get extra bonus points when you're a champion. Memorial is the Central Section champion, and they got a 13 seed over Clovis West getting an 8.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Well, once again, that's not a Clovis West problem.
No, it's a CIF state problem.
It's a CIF state
problem. But no, I could be a Central Section problem if they said, well, Clovis West is a higher seed.
Maybe. Maybe we don't
they had
know.
To be.
We don't know how they ranked us or what they put in the deal.
I'm inviting Mr. Cardoza, Mr. Critchler to call.
Clearly, with my own two eyes, I saw them play live twice. As you said, once at Clovis West, and they were down by 20-something. And Memorial somehow couldn't finish that deal off. And they ended up losing with a roaring comeback by the Golden Eagles. They put their game together over that time, and what I saw at Selden Arena, Memorial's a better team.
Yeah.
Period.
No question.
And they won it when it counted for the section championship of all
and
the
then
open.
You give them a 13
and
seed?
To give them a 13 seed. There's no way to justify that.
It's wrong.
It's wrong.
Simply wrong. And I would love to have the CIF state call in and justify what the heck they were talking about.
And even if I don't know how, and that is it 16 teams in? Are they against? Okay. So they could have at least pushed them to a 9 or somewhere where they could have got at least one home game. To lose, to be a section champion
money.
In the open division and not get a home game, I don't think I've ever seen anything remotely come close to that ever in the history of my 30-plus years of following high school and tracking high school sports, ever.
It's completely wrong, and I don't even know what to tell you. He's such a cool guy, Brad Rosnowski, and just like Jamie White last night on a bad call like that against Fresno State, you would have had to taser me to get me out of the gym. Yeah. Okay? I would have come unglued if I was Coach Brad Rosnowski when I got the draws on Sunday. I would have taken my car right wherever the CIF office is and crashed through the front doors.
No, you wouldn't.
Be so cool. For Coach Brad, like,
now you're going too far.
Well, we'll just have to go to De La Salle and take our chances on a, you know.
And they ended up losing. And they ended up losing that game.
How many times does that home game make you a little money?
Well, the money's a big one, obviously. The home court advantage, the get out, no bus trip, no nothing. You're there. You're in your. And by the way, that's another thing, though. Forget the idea of the size of gyms. That's a bonus for me. You win all your games. You climb the mountain. You win the Open Championship. You didn't win all your games, but you win when it matters.
You're the champ. You're the best.
You're the champ.
Yeah.
And then you get to get some unsuspecting opponent gets to travel into Fresno, and go into that, you know, the House of Doom, that smaller gym where everything seems different. That's an advantage, and they did not get a chance to have that opportunity.
And Clovis West lost to Vanden on Tuesday night, so they're done as well. Boy, oh boy, I don't know what to tell you. Let's take a break and take your phone calls, 844-940-ESPN. We put a lot of subjects on. Two sports in one day, is that good? JV varsity, can you not play? Is that good? We got a lot going on here. So I'd love to hear
from
the audience.
That's too much legislation on who can play and can't play. Let it be in the hands of the high schools to decide that little Tommy can handle two games in one day. Don't put it in paper. That rule is obviously, we pierced the rule. The rule is not consistent. That rule needs to be adopted and changed.
Especially to winter to spring.
Well, that should never happen. If you allow, obviously, someone to play in a soccer tournament and then that later that night, you know, take fastballs in the face, you've destroyed any chance of giving me, well, it's for the safety of the athletes. No, it's not. There's something in there. We need to discover it.
What's the problem? We're listening to Rise. We'll be right back.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Colliers International, Fashion Furniture across from River Park, Emmanuel Schools, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Rise Show here on a Thursday. The Pag Meter's Matty J. Coming up next will be Tony Dean. He'll be talking about that crazy finish last night with Fresno State, how they got just completely hosed. Okay, I'm going to throw it out there. That was a hose job by the officials, and Tony will bring it up. But we'll find out if they can go to the dance or not. I'm hoping they do. With that with a tremendous season with Jamie's team and Fresno State women's basketball. So, Matt,
how many wins do they have? 24? 20, what do they have?
25, I believe.
25?
Yeah, outstanding year. And that, you know, that was a great game. And, again, Tony will have all that coverage.
They'll get
an
at-large bid.
Let's hope they do. That would be fantastic. Because Fresno State, and next year, watch out.
But, I mean, it's not the Mountain West is not a bastion of basketball talent in the girls, in the ladies' game. I mean, it's really in the history of our conference. Have we ever had anyone that made any kind of movement at all in the tournament? I don't think so.
I don't know. We'll have to ask Bobby on that one.
I just can't ever remember. I'm talking in the women's game. I just can't ever remember ever that we had, oh, did you hear? We made the Sweet 16. Yeah. It's Nevada made it, or Boise State, or San Jose. No one. I can't remember any of it.
I think Fresno State next year can make a run. They're going to be really, really good next
year. Certainly going to be good, and seasoned veterans all coming back.
Yeah, so it's the Pag Meter, Matty J, here at Fashion Furniture. There's nothing like this place in California here at River Park. Come on down and hang out with us. It's the beautiful studios of 940 ESPN. Matt, phone's blowing up now with all the playoff basketball. Okay, let me – the good news and bad news is, good news is, well, I don't even know if it's good news or bad news, but this isn't the year on the boys' side, except for Bakersfield Christian. Maybe Fowler, but Bakersfield Christian is the only chance we have in the to win a state. It's not a year from the boys' side. Girls' side, Memorial, they put them in Division II, and Memorial just continues. They should have been in the open division on the girls' side. How in the world they go to Division II, I'll never know, but they are. They're with Clovis on D2. They should be playing in the open division. They're really, really good. They can win a state. Clovis North, maybe in the D1, could pull in and win a state. Clovis West has their hands full in the open division. They're a year away.
Yeah, only five schools. Walter's talking about got in. That's why they had the bye. They'll open up with St. Joe's on Saturday.
But you've got Mitty, Archbishop Mitty, looming in the background there, and they're really good.
They're a year away. Clovis West's probably a year away from being really, really good. No question. They're playing on – I think they're playing with house money like you and I always talk about. But I just get upset when I see the CIF State just make things up, and they put teams – they just try to match them up. Could it be the bigger gym? Could it be – They really don't know about us. Just put them in D4. Just like Garrett Brown said, we thought we'd be a high seed in Division III. If they're going to put us in D4, we should be the one seed. They give them a 5. We just get sometimes no respect. And you might be right, Matt. I think wrestling just kicks the state's butt in everything, and I think they're a little upset about it. I really do.
Well, they'd be pretty petty if they were. But, you know, we dominate in the world of wrestling, which – it's not a small feat when you really think about it.
Six teams in top 10.
It's a very large state, and it wasn't always that way. When I grew up, there was the, you know, Calvary Chapel, and Poway is still, I think they finished 3 or 4 or 2 in the state from San Diego area, Gilroy and the place. But for this section to continue to dominate, and really, honestly, the best sport of all the sports we're talking about has to be the game of wrestling, because that is the purest science of competitive training, the sacrifices those young men and women now make is, I don't think, second to anything. I really don't. I think what a person goes through that is a competitive high-level wrestler is comparable beyond anything that goes on in the rest of high school sports. I really do. I've got a chance to rub shoulders with those kinds of kids. They're academically right. They are so consistent with their regimen of what they have to do on a day-in-day basis. They are the closest thing to being professionals in the world of high school amateur athletics, because they lead a professional life. And I'm not talking about money or monetary gain. I'm just talking about the way they have to conduct themselves to be at that level. They are professionals in a combat sport such as wrestling. Amazing.
Well, look at the top 10 in the state finishers. Congratulations to the Buchanan Bears. They almost lapped the field. Okay, number 1 in the state. Number 4 in the state, the Clovis Cougars. Number 5 in the state, the Selma Bears. 6th, Clovis North Broncos. And 8, Bakersfield Drillers. That's a domination.
Yeah, and then you look closer to where we're located, I believe there's one of the, you know, not in our section, but they're just west of us. So when it comes down to south versus north and those type of things, we're 6 out of the 10 or 7 out of the 10. It's pretty impressive, clearly.
No question. And we got a lot on the plate. People don't like to call in.
Read this.
Because this email's going crazy. I love it.
So let me give you this, all right? This comes out of the state of Arizona. This is right up the PAG meter wheelhouse. Arizona House has passed this bill to prevent males from competing in the female sports. Arizona House passes the bill. It's official. So the state of Arizona now has had to go that far. You see more of that coming throughout the country, with people starting to have to put legislation down that the transgender athlete has to stick to the male or the female sport. And they don't elaborate in my note that gets sent to me, but it has to be based on what? Birth? If you're born the boy or the girl, that's the sport you have to compete in. I'd love to get further clarification from, which I will later this evening, from the state of Arizona. But I know you've been very aware and on top of what's happened in a lot of states, including California, when you've got the young male student-athlete competing against a girl, either on the wrestling mat or in a track meet or whatever it might be. Something has to be fixed, or you're going to get a lot of lawsuits and a lot of crazy stuff's going to start happening.
Well, that's we brought this up 5+ years ago, and we said it's going to happen, and it's now here. And yep. The school districts have to decide what they want to do. They're having little closed meetings right now.
Yeah.
Are we going to be sued by the transgender people of the world? Are we going to go after the individual parents who are going to say, how did he beat me in 100 meters? How does he get away with that? Take a chance on that family. They're going to have to decide. And Arizona made an early call.
Yeah. Which is probably going through. There's probably other states, obviously, already involved in this, if not getting ready to clear legislation on that. Something has to be looked into because it just it's not right that a young, for instance, the track athletes, I think it was on the state of Connecticut, you know, they trained their whole life for that opportunity to get in the state meet and to get a medal, and to be ousted by one place over somebody that relates to female but was born male, and you get beat, I think the parents would be a little upset. I think that's what's happening.
Do I have to say it again, what the golden rule is? Okay, because it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Right?
It is.
It's a simple deal. We don't have a big menu down here, thank you, God. It's either male or female. That's it. And the thing about high school.
Well, no, that's still, not it, but that's it in the world of athletics.
Athletics.
If it's in a contest, especially with – would hate to see out of the safety young girls or boys injecting themselves with more hormones and everything they have to do to make that transition and then have to deal with sports too on top of it. I think it's a safety issue, number one. Number two, in the fairness and equity of what we've always stood for, at least in this state, that is clearly an advantage over the female competitor. You know?
Well, that's where you draw the line, because high school, really, there's not a steroid law. I mean, if you're a high school kid.
There's no drug testing.
No drug testing yet. Maybe someday there will be, but right now we see a lot of – we've seen – I don't know what's going on
anymore.
That's just
going to be too costly. Look, we can't afford to finish high-speed rail, let alone start worrying about sending out medical testing kits to all the different campuses and go through that expense, which would be astronomical. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. So what's the answer? It's simple.
The answer is, let's just use common sense.
Common sense.
Common sense.
But not when it comes to money and lawsuits. That throws it out the window.
Yeah, common sense.
It's going to happen. It's coming to California, and I bet it starts in track, because it seems like that's where it's all starting back east.
Well, it was a track and a
wrestling thing.
Wrestling in the state of Texas, where a state champion won over a girl. This is a great, beautiful country, and be who you want to be. Love it. But in the world of athletics, you would be blind or absolutely out of your mind to figure that there's not an advantage over a male athlete over the female.
Clearly.
Now, from an aesthetic point of view, watching it on television, maybe one day when I watch the WNBA and a young lady goes baseline and throws back like Sidney Moncrief from Arkansas with a tomahawk slam dunk with the 42-inch vertical, by the way, then maybe it'll be interesting to watch to see some spectacular stuff. But right now, let's leave it in the two areas that it's in, okay? I don't want to go to a wrestling match and watch some guy that last year was, you know, ninth place at state, and now he's wrestling in the girls' division, and he's winning state repeatedly. I think that's where they're going to draw the line.
So if you're a superintendent in a school district, how is Matt Johnson going to handle that? Because all of a sudden, transgender comes in and wins the 100 meters.
I'm not.
How are you going to handle that? What's going to happen.
I'm not going to. I'm liking the way at least Arizona made it statewide. That's what they're in office for. Let them put down the legislation and go get it. I'm not going to go with like, you can't wrestle this week, Jerry, because this district doesn't allow that. Well, the other district does. That would be just too hit or miss. It has to be a statewide movement.
So what's your guessing point what California would do?
That's a very good point. I did mention that was Arizona, right? Yeah, that makes sense.
We will completely opposite of Arizona, okay? It'll be a free-for-all. That way you're going to see.
So we might see
leading off for the Buchanan Bears softball team will be Ted Baxter batting second. You know, Larry Jenkins will hit second. What do you mean? Well, we're letting everybody play softball now. You want to play softball? You want to play baseball? You want to cheerlead? You want to swim? It is all open. That's what California's going to end up saying.
Possibly.
Just saying.
And this is in reporting and in journalism, let alone this thing we do just broadcasting-wise, these are the kind of corners you get pulled in. I need to get Walter Jackson. He's the legal mind who could say, once you get into that area, you got to learn how to get out of it. Because right now, I don't know how to get out of it other than to say, enough said on that subject, let's move on.
Okay, the other one I want to say, people are asking.
Yes.
So, you can play two sports in one day. I totally disagree if you can play winter and then spring on the same day. You want to play two winters? Maybe. I still don't like it, but you can't play a winter then a spring.
Well, if you want to
cut the season off first.
That's great. That's a good opinion. Yeah. That's not my opinion. My opinion is if your parents and your administration, coaches included, feel it's okay for you to score a couple goals in the afternoon tournament and then later that night lace them up over at the Buchanan Softball Complex and bat 400 and be the winning pitcher on the same day, I'm okay with that. But I better let everyone know that it should be okay then for a freshman or JV football player then also to lace it up in the varsity game later that night.
This is my problem.
How's that any different?
I don't understand. So if I'm a freshman left fielder, okay, and we played at 3:30 and the varsity plays at 6:30 and I had played, but I also pitch. I'm a little pitcher. I'm not really good. But the varsity pitcher goes down and they need a pitcher.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, went down. Well, can you pitch for? Well, I played in the freshman game. Oh, what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that?
I don't understand why you can play.
There is nothing wrong with that. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Now, what would be wrong with that? Assuming that we're all idiots and there's coaches and we would say, well, what'd you do in the morning? You pitched six innings? Yeah, but my varsity guy went down. Freshman, I need you. Yeah, but I just pitched six innings. I need you on the mound right now. That would be stupid. But if you're a guy, a freshman pitcher, let's say, and you pitch your day, and later that night you also play a hefty good right field or you're a great first baseman, play in the varsity game later.
And they need you because, you know, by the way, CIF, if you're listening, it's happening all over the place in cheerleading because cheerleading is now a sport.
Yes.
JVs are now playing varsity as well because you don't want to make the parents mad. So the JV, they form, they got 12 girls, whatever it is. Got the scoop on this too. And you don't want to take that. So if two, they go all of a sudden, we need three. We need Jenny, yeah. Tiffany, and Ballerini. You guys are going to the varsity night because we don't have enough. The JV parent, wait a minute. We just spent all that money on uniform. We need those three people. So they're taking JV and varsity all together, which is against the law. But CIF is not ready for cheerleading and pep and doing all that yet. They have no idea what they're doing yet, and they know it.
So yeah, that's not easy to police, number one. But I'm just making a blanket statement. If somebody, which we know happened, and it's happening all over, played in a match in a sport, and then later that night played in another sport, and they were both varsity contests.
That's fine.
That's fine, apparently. But the freshman who had a game on a Wednesday and then was asked to come up to varsity on a Friday because we just ran out of, the shortstops, that is not right. How is that even closely even a problem? I have no idea. We'll never maybe get the answer to that, but that needs to be looked into.
How many times have we changed on this show? This
yeah.
is what we bring up. That's and I'm it. Sure the minds are thinking right now about this. So
that's was, a coach's
it could be
and
a common
and
sense.
A parent's decision
yes.
to be made that my kid can fully capable play on a Wednesday in a freshman level. Now they want to move him to varsity on Friday. That's fine and dandy.
I want to thank Fashion Furniture, El Paso Blackstone. There is nothing like it in California. Come out and hang out with Rod and the family. I want to thank Garrett Brown, the head coach of Bakersfield Christian, for joining us. Maddie J, great job. Bobby, the new group. Well, you guys are awesome. Thank you. And Gonzo back in the studio. Coming up next, Tony D. Plenty of Fresno State talk. Have a great afternoon, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow at 3 o'clock on The Zone. 3 o'clock, special time. You listen to 940 ESPN, your Valley's local sports leader. As Matt says,
well, I don't say, I do it. It's called Get in the Game.
Thank you.